Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by
Christine Wong.
I'm Vinny Brudge.
We're going to be with you for about an hour. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. And if you want to get us over on Twitter, it's at BFM Radio. Chris, what are we talking about today?
So it's been more than a month since the dreadful floods that severely affected homes and businesses in the Klang Valley. Now it's no longer trending on Twitter Jaya. The community campaigns to clean, feed and aid victims have slowly dwindled down. But those affected are still reeling from the loss of their homes and livelihoods.
And according to an op-ed in The Star, penned by former Starbiz editor Lap Yang Quen, of the 35% of SMEs in KL and Selangor, the most severely affected by the floods were those in Klang, Shah Alam and Ulu Langgar.
Mm-hmm. So while a few commercial banks and the Credit Guarantee Corps, or CGC, have come up with disaster relief loans, many of these SMEs have had to stop business, and they've yet to get back to business. Mm-hmm. Until today, factories are badly damage with machinery covered by mud. Stocks, especially raw materials, cannot be used anymore. Many imported stocks are stuck in Port Klang with their quality in question. And many farms were destroyed by the flood, and businesses with contracts to supply vegetables now have to buy from third parties. The SME Association has confirmed the cost of doing business is now higher. Capital investment required to replenish new machinery and stocks has become a huge burden to SMEs.
And this piece of statistics here puts things into perspective. At RHB Bank, applications for aid amounted to 46 million ringgit, and that's just at the end of December 2021. So we're guessing that this number has surely surged and will continue to climb after this. That's because many SMEs are still reviewing their immediate recovery efforts. So in terms of asset losses, the most important are those work in progress and clients' materials that are due for delivery, and these can possibly incur liability costs.
Overall asset losses cover goods and stocks, furniture and fittings, machinery and instruments, electrical fittings and wiring, vehicles and parts, hardware and software, as well as documents and records. And in terms of supply chain disruption, many SME manufacturers in the south depend on goods, parts and engineering support services from the Klang Valley. So this has also affected businesses that weren't impacted by the floods.
Mm-hmm. So what will help right now is expediting the payment of insurance claims, as SMEs need sufficient funds to clean up and restart their businesses. Some have even suggested marketplaces like Shopee and Lazada waive the commission and fees for affected SMEs to sell online for at least 3 months, maybe create a separate digital shop floor for the affected SMEs while consumers can support these companies via their purchases. And while many corporate companies are already helping affected housing areas, they can also help to clean up small shops and factories if they wanted to.
Local and state governments, meanwhile, can help by, you know, waiving things like rent, perhaps, mm-hmm. as well as assessment and trade license fees for the year to come. This will relieve SMEs as they try to recover from the floods as soon as possible. And the government, well, the government can also clean up the rivers and develop sustainable structural mitigation plans to, you know, prevent future floods.
Yeah.
These include things like, you know, the building of retention ponds, pump stations, dams and flood walls.
Mm-hmm. And the private sector can help by not, you know, dumping debris into rivers. Hmm. We need to up the awareness on water pollution. But the major point we're trying to make here is we cannot forget this happened. We need to continue efforts to support victims and build defenses to ensure we're not caught off guard like this again.
Yeah, so when we come back, we'll speak to a pretty prominent business in the Klang Valley that suffered an estimated loss of 50 million ringgit and counting from the floods. We'll get some insights into how they're managing inventory and cleanup and the recovery 1 month later, 1 month removed from the floods. Also, what this business is doing to give back to the community affected by the floods.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are going to take a short break. When we do come back, we'll hear from you guys if you have any tweets and, of course, some messages via WhatsApp. We're going to take a short break with some music. We've got the Klang with Spanish Bombs up first. We'll be right back with our entrepreneur right after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Bloggers for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yavaraj.
And Christine Wong.
What are we talking about today, Chris?
So we're talking about the recent floods, which severely impacted certain parts of the country that also affected many lives, resulting in a loss of livelihood to many. We're essentially taking a look back to see what the progress has been 1 month on.
Okay. Big Bad Wolves Book Warehouse, located in Taman Alam Indah in Shah Alam, was not spared from the devastation that resulted from the floods. It was a 200,000 square foot warehouse, which stores more than 20 million books, and it suffered an estimated loss of between 40 to 50 million ringgit in damages. Of course, we're huge fans of, you know, Big Bad Wolves.
Mm-hmm. Book Excess and
Book
stuff,
Excess, yeah.
Yeah.
And despite the damages of millions of books, Big Bad Wolf Books recently announced that it aims to give back to the community, especially to those affected by the floods, through its long-term community outreach program. It's made an implicit commitment to donate books to 2,000 deserving communities, ranging from kindergartens to school libraries, underprivileged families and orphanages, to neighborhood community centers and low-cost flats. And most importantly, to anyone who requires books to build a library nationwide. And we have on the line right now Andrew Yap. He is the founder of Big Bad Wolves Books. Now, Andrew, it's been just over a month since the floods that hit the Klang Valley. What's been going on with you guys? Is the cleanup process still ongoing at the warehouse?
Firstly, I would like to say that, this is a business. And you know, it's just a business, right? But you know, it's really nothing compared to those who have lost a life, you know, those who have lost a home and all. I mean, that is really, really sad, you know, and you just can't compare, right? And but as a business point of view, it's been really, really very tough. You know, a lot of people, it's like it's not trending anymore, you know, a lot of hype when it happened. But when you say it's not trending, yeah, it's not trending in the news, but to the victims, we also one of them. I mean, it's still trending with us because it's a long-term effect. You know, we are looking at least, you know, maybe a year or even 2 years to actually recover from a setback like this. Yeah, so in terms of the recovery, it took us about 3 weeks to move out all the books, you know, to clear out the warehouse. And then now, you know, we almost on a daily basis, we are trying to ascertain, you know, the exact amount of books that were damaged, and not just the books, but the equipment, the building, right? There's just, I think the laundry list is almost 1,000 things that, you know, we have to go through. We have to submit, you know, for our insurance claims, and then not even talking about the consequential loss, right? So it's like rocket science trying to figure out consequential loss. Yeah.
So, you know, with so many books being damaged, how have the damaged books been managed? Because, and I'm hoping that you're not going to tell us they've all been completely thrown into like some landfill.
I think maybe the question is, I think a lot of people's mind is, any of the books can be saved or not? Yeah, correct. Salvage, right? So, sadly, it cannot because, you know, it's flood waters. Right, so you know, it carries a lot of bacteria and it's dirty, and you know, because of the bacteria, it gets moldy very fast also. So it's not safe, you know, to actually dry it or to you know, give it away, right? So it's all been recycled. We send it to a recycling plant.
Okay, well, at least it's being recycled then.
Yeah, yeah.
But Andrew, when the press spoke to you towards the end of last year, you said the total loss was still being evaluated and would take some time. Do you have updates on how much this has impacted business in terms of disruption and dollars and cents?
So here's the scary part. Every day, we have a task force committee, you know, to ascertain the damages. And books-wise alone, the numbers keep going up higher and higher and higher. So it's like, it's really heart-wrenching, you know, when you see that each book that is tossed away or, you know, that has to be recycled is an opportunity for someone else to actually, you know, have the book, right? So when it first happened, we estimated about, you know, 2.5, 3 million. And then when we really started getting the numbers, it went to 3.5. And then this morning, we just had a meeting and it's creeping up to almost like 4 million. So, you know, it's a lot. 4 million books is a lot. You know, you can literally put a mini library in everyone's home in Malaysia.
Mm. Now, operations at the physical and online stores in the rest of the country were not affected. I know some of us quickly rushed to support Big Bad Wolves and Book Excess by hitting your stores to support you. Did you see a silver lining in this disaster at all? The community rallying together, love and loyalty for your services, stuff like that?
Yes, there was. it came in many different ways. Definitely, we are just so grateful for everyone, you know, our customers and the fans, you know, who rallied together on social media. You know, they came, and they actually came to support. There was even a Facebook group, you know, they were saying that, hey, who wants to go to Book Access this weekend? You know, let's support them. You know, then, you know, a few of them put up their hands and then they came. So we did see a spike in our online platform and our physical stores, right? And so we were just extremely grateful for that because we need all the revenue that, you know, we can garner because we don't see revenue coming in, you know, for the next, you know, 1 or 2 months, right? And in terms of silver lining, so here is how different are we compared to other businesses. Firstly, you know, we are profit was never the priority when we started the business. It was always to make sure that how many books we can sell, not how much we can make or how many books that, you know, we can give away, right? So the silver lining came in a very different way. We always wanted to kick off our 2,000 library community library in a year program, and we just couldn't find the right time. We wanted to do it pre-COVID, and then when COVID came, you know, time wasn't right, and because of the floods and all, right, we had to move out the 3 over million books the moment the water receded, and because of that, we created a huge mess behind our warehouse. The mess became so big that it spilled over our fence, broke the fence, and then went on to the council reserve land and onto the main road. It was a valley of books, right? And so I thought that, you know, we'll never ever get a chance to have such material in terms of, you know, to make a video out of it, you know. And we also wanted to send a message out, you know, because you came out the video and the video went viral. I think almost 5 million views. And the title was Death by Drowning, right? Some people say that, you know, we are not, with a title like that, it's not very sensitive because some people actually died. But to us, you know, this video was about everyone, you know. It's not just about us, right? And the video, we wanted to make sure that we push for change because where we were, you know, we are in a city. It's a planned city. We are in an industrial estate, and it's not supposed to flood the way it happened. So a lot of, this could have been avoided. If the people that were managing, you know, the council and all did a better job, right? So we just wanted to do that, you know, to send a message out. And it garnered so much views. And so that gave us the opportunity to ride on the publicity that we get to kick off the 2000 library project that we had, right? And how it all started was at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think a week after the water receded, the security guard calls me. Oh, here's a fun fact. I actually live in a warehouse upstairs. Yeah, literally, this is a warehouse, right? And I actually live upstairs on the third floor. So the security guard calls me and says that, hey, you know, there's a problem downstairs. A lot of people are walking into the warehouse. I said, what by walking in the warehouse? So I went to the back and I realized that because the mountain of books, right, the foot of the mountain is actually at the main road. So if you start walking up, you reach the peak, and then when you walk down, you enter our warehouse automatically, right? And then I asked them, I say, guys, you know, this is really trespassing and you're not supposed to come in here. But, you know, they were just scavenging the books, you know, there's a family, mom, dad, and kids and all. It's like, I say that, and then the books are not safe, you know, because it's moldy and, you know, they say it's okay, they can wipe it off, you know, they can dry it and the kids can read because they were from the communities at the back. And I think about 500 homes that was underwater, right? And they lost all the mini libraries that they had at home because kids, you know, generally, they read every night and some they reread the books and then now there's nothing to read. And so they see all the books by the road and to them it's like it's new books, number one. You know, they haven't read before and they feel that they can salvage it. Yeah. So, you know, and I thought like, okay, I know, just just do whatever you want to do. And I was like, you just couldn't have the heart to stop them. Yeah, so that gave us the opportunity and the idea, you know, to let's kick off that 2000 communities library now. You know, we won't be able to give books to every home to set up a mini library, but what we can do is, you know, give 500 to 1,000 books to each community, and you know, the kids can go to wherever they store the books. You know, be it even in the guardhouse. I mean, if there's no space, right? You know, for them to take books and borrow books or return books. Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, just stay on the line with us. We're going to take a short break. Folks, if you've got any comments, do let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, at Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Of course, we will be hearing more from Andrew after the break, but we should take a break with some music. Let's have some music from the fabulous Thunderbirds with Tough Enough here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Books, figurines, movies. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I am in the studio with
Christine Wong,
Arvind Yuvraj.
We've just been speaking a little bit about the recent floods, of course, which severely impacted certain parts of the country. And we have been on the phone with Andrew Yap. He's the founder of Big Bad Wolves Books, and their 200,000 square foot warehouse, which stored more than 20 million books, suffered an estimated loss of between 40 and 50 million ringgit in damages. Andrew, thanks for sticking on the phone with us. How much is this? How much is this outreach program going to cost Big Bad Wolf that you were talking about? From managing the damage from the floods and now giving out these free books, is this something the business can safely take on at this time?
I think you know, when you give, when there's nothing to give, I really believe that, you know, you'll be blessed in other ways, and you wouldn't know where the blessing comes from. So we are always very true to, you know, to the mission when we started this business. We wanted to change Malaysia, you know, through books. And so we've been blessed all this while, you know, getting hit by COVID. You know, we almost died, you know, as a company. It's like, it was so hard to navigate because we are like an event company. And, you know, for the last 2-3 years, events are non-existent, right? And we survived. So, you know, we feel that we will pull through. And by giving up more, right, you know, somehow, you know, there will be just other lifelines that will come, you know. Yeah, because, I mean, we are all about, you know, making a change in Malaysia. And at this time, a lot of people need books. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm curious if the flood has changed your business plan at all, or the way that you do business, like contingency or emergency planning, incorporating disaster prevention, things like that, just to mitigate future losses.
I think one of the biggest changes we ever did was when we were hit by COVID, and during the pandemic, we had to reset the business. We were 680 strong, you know, with staff and all, and we pared down to almost 200 to pull through, and then we started moving up again when the markets were opening. So we are currently at, you know, 400 over, and then with the floods and all, we realized that we also grew a little bit too fast when the markets started opening, because we needed to catch up on the last 2 years, and the overseas markets started opening a lot earlier. You know, like the Middle East and Africa and all. You know, they weren't concerned, you know, about COVID compared to other countries, right? So the markets were opening up there. And we had plans already to expand Big Bad Wolf in the Middle East and Africa. So we started moving up again. And then now the flood came, right? So that also got me, you know, to rethink again and, you know, to reset the business again, right? And because we got to lay low for at least another 3 to 4 months, or maybe even 6 months. You know, we're losing 1/3 of our inventory. It takes about 6 months to a year to recover, to get back the books, right? So we're just forced to lay low. So while doing that, you know, give us time to take stock again, you know, and how to rebuild the business to be leaner and to be stronger. Yeah, so that was one of the things. But apart from that, you know, the usual things like, you know, making sure that our insurance policies are a lot better, because we also realized, you know, there was a lot of gaps, and you will never know because it's our first time experiencing something like this. So we realized a lot of gaps in our policies, and not just our policies, but because when you claim for insurance, you have to back up with facts, right? So making sure that, you know, our SOPs, you know, are all followed, and documentation, and also, so there's a lot of gaps that we realize. So, you know, cleaning up all this. But apart from physically, you know, you just can't not use the ground floor. So, you know, we just have to hope that, you know, it doesn't happen again. And we're also pushing the council harder now to make sure that, you know, the drainage and irrigation is all tip top, because what we experienced here was because of, you know, the trains and all were all stuck.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much for that, Andrew. Now, before we let you go, do you have a message for Malaysians out there or fellow SMEs that have been affected by the floods?
No, I think I just remember this because of what you just said. I think one thing that Malaysians must also learn is that, you know, there's always a saying that, you know, Malaysians are muda lupa, you know, we forget very very easily, right? And these are things that we should never forget. And it should always be trending, you know, because at the end of the day, this is the first time being a flood victim, right? And I never felt it, you know, the way I'm feeling now when you know, previous years when you see all these kind of things happening. So, the you know, we if it's not trending anymore, we forget, we move on. But to those who are suffering, you know, it will continue for years. You know, I had a friend who was saying that he managed to get, you know, six months relief from the bank, right, not paying for his car, but he can't afford to pay for the repairs. You know, it cost him almost like 30,000 to repair the car. And so after 6 months, he still got to pay installments for a car that he can't repair. So like, you know, it's really sad. So we should always rally together and see how we can help, because a lot of Malaysians do want to help. Yeah, they just need a platform, you know, a reminder. Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew. That was Andrew Yap, founder of Big Bad Wolves Books. Now, if you're only just tuning in, we're talking about this because their 200,000 square foot warehouse, which stores more than 20 million books, suffered an estimated loss of between 40 and 50 million ringgit in damages. That's absolutely crazy to think about that amount of money. Right, we should probably wrap up for the day, shouldn't we, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you very much for all of your messages today. And thank you very much, of course, for Andrew for coming on the line and talking to us. Folks, if you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally download it from. We recommend the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. But don't go anywhere. We do have the Breakfast Grill replay coming up shortly after the 1 o'clock news. ERS Energy installs and designs solar power systems for all sectors like residential and industrial. And on the Breakfast Grill this morning, Jonathan Kahn, the managing director and co-founder of ERS Energy Sundaram Bahad, talked about the latest technological advancements in the field of renewable energy and the contributions of the company to a more sustainable future. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. I want to thank Arvin and Christine, of course, for joining me today. We're going to have some David Bowie to take us up to the top of the hour with Rebel Rebel here on Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise BizBytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.